like fools, using them like tools. But let me tell you, we won't abandon our souls. No, sell it for your dollar bills. Cause more than money, we're seeking for wisdom, trying to improve our freedom. Hey, there is no insanity nursing in our bosom. Still, you wanna treat us like hoodlums. You're lying, you're cheating, you're killing. But we're still standing, shouting, protesting, resisting, fighting for our yearnings.
Right. Welcome, everybody. Happy Friday the 13th. Welcome to the final hour on RBN. This is Travis, your host. Last week, we talked about weaponized healthcare, the technocratic slave system, the DOD's joint protection or doctrine for electronic warfare, some other topics like that, communitarianism. Lark from Texas called in. That was a good call. Good call from Sean in Hawaii. Hey, tonight, a couple announcements. If you guys ever want to email me, you can email me at finalhourhost@protonmail.com. It's all lowercase, all spelled out. finalhourhost@protonmail.com. If you got any topics, ideas, criticisms, comments, let me know. And I've listened to a couple of my recordings, and I've noticed the audio quality is not the best in some cases, so I'll really try to get my audio fixed up for us down the road. So, yeah, tonight we're going to talk about, obviously, you probably have to talk a little bit about what's going on in Israel. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We're going to continue reading from the final, the Ultimate World Order. And it's a super important book. I highly recommend anybody listening go check that book out. It's called The Ultimate World Order. It is free for download. It's linked in the first link of the show archives for the final hour. Highly recommend checking that book out and reading yourself, because I'm sure I'm not doing it justice and reading it bit by bit. But it's very relevant. I was just scanning the first paragraph. It's very relevant to what we're seeing today. I think it's important reading. So it also, I think we'll finish this book up probably at the next show. And I would love to have an honest discussion with anybody that's read this book. And I'm going to have to go back and pull out key notes so we could talk about it and some of the key findings I thought were important. But if anybody wants to call in then either the next show or the show after that and talk about this book, it's only 77 pages, so I'm sure you could read it pretty quick. But, check that book out. It's called The Ultimate World Order, as pictured in the Jewish Utopia. So, again, that book was written in 1957. So, we left off right about the end of page 60. I think I'll reread this last paragraph. Here we go. Excuse me. In scrutinizing the Zionist timetable, it would be interesting to know whether or not they intended the Egyptian invasion to start the final war. In any case, they kept their agents on the Austrian border of Hungary, which border, by the way, the communists left practically unguarded for weeks, herding the Jews across and resettling them. Many they flew to America in the U.S. Air Force planes rushed to them by President Eisenhower, though by no legal authority. Others they shipped to Israel. Estimates of the number of Jews who have come out of Hungary since October vary from 17,000 to as high as 100,000. They kept coming out all winter, and the Jewish papers and some correspondents kept saying there was to be another revolt in Hungary in the spring, followed by another one in Poland, and certain incidents hinted that a third would follow in Romania, where there were, by Jewish newspaper estimates a few years ago, as many as 400,000 Jews. Okay, there's a footnote here. According to the liberal writer John Gunther, who knew him and interviewed him. Rakowski is of Jewish origin, and the family name was Rosencrantz. Gunther said Rakowski was one of the half dozen most important international communists in the world today. See Gunther's Behind the Curtain of 1949. Okay, who will win? It is inescapable, in view of the general situation, that the USSR is to be destroyed, with the Arab states as anti-Semitic. Whether the Jews remain in full charge, or they gradually losing their grip on the Soviet government, or are being deliberately withdrawn according to the long preconceived plan, the Zionists ultimately must have the godless communists, their own creation, destroyed, because the whole world must worship the Holy One, must believe in God, the Jewish God. And of course, the anti-Semitic Russian people and Christian populace must be wiped out too. So once again, we shall see agents of the Jewish machine move into Russia, this time behind Anglo-Saxon soldiers, such of them as survive and take over the smoking remains, setting up their front men in power. For several years, we have been hearing this question: will Israel be neutral in the next war? If not, which side will she join? First, it is obvious that Israel would jeopardize the position of some two-thirds of the Jews of the world if she sided with the communists against us, for these two-thirds reside in America. And there's a little star for footnote. Second, the Zionists did not get some of the Israelis slaughtered in the war, and they did not maneuver to have Israel sacked and perhaps burned or atomized. They would lose the trump card, which has drawn so many crocodile tears from us stupid Anglo-Saxons and have gotten so many of our sons killed on Jewish-mapped battlefields. Israel will have to take part, and on the side of the West, or rather fighting besides those Western nations who are duped and used. Finally, Mr. Hager himself says that Israel is to participate. Israel and the other righteous nations will combat the combined forces of the wicked, unrighteous nations. From Professor Higger's book, it is obvious that our own country and allies, no doubt Britain and France, are to be among the righteous. This is splendid news, the first news of victory, even before the war starts. But are we to be victorious? Not in the sense that any of us or our children and grandchildren can profit by victory. For it is Zion that is to conquer all, or such is the plan. Okay, and that was the end of the page. So go back to this footnote. The eminent Jewish writer and leader in England, Dr. Cecil Roth, told a B'nai B'rith audience in Kansas City in May 1952, as quoted in Kansas City newspaper, the exact date of which does not appear in my clipping. Quote, "You have now in the United States a good two-thirds of all Jews in the world. We do not know for sure how many Jews there are. Jewish leaders historically refuse to publish reliable counts. Answering the question, why is it forbidden to count Jews one by one, even for their holy purpose? The California Jewish Voice, February 15, 1957, gave the answer. This restriction is found in the Talmud, Babai Yoma 22b, where it is written that it is forbidden to count the Jews even for a mitzvah. The New York Times, owned by the professional Jew Schulzberger, in 1948 did dare estimate, not necessarily counting one by one, perhaps, the Jewish population of the world, putting the figure between 15,700,000 and 18,600,000. So if America has two-thirds of the total, we must house about 11 million or 12 million Jews. Europe did not have 6 million Jews to lose during the war, as there were not that many Jews in all of Europe. Millions had left before the war started. Hitler could not have killed them. It seems obvious that they came mostly to America." Okay, that's the end of the footnote. Here we go. "Assembled for an attack upon the righteous nations of Palestine near Jerusalem. The unrighteous will suffer a crushing defeat, and Zion will thenceforth remain the center of the kingdom of God. In the next world Holocaust, there will may be no victor, not even Israel. Certainly, if they succeed, you and I, as defenders of American traditions and individual freedom, will be on the liquidation list. We need not even expose Zionist activities to get into the Jewish Black Book. All we have to do is defend our race, our traditions, our religion, and our freedom. Mr. Hirger made that clear, and the Zionists attack, vilify, and ridicule all Americans who become prominent in the fight for Americanism. And there's a footnote at the bottom there. How will they and the righteous agents, the liberals, manage to suppress or liquidate such opponents in this country? Many ways may be quickly developed under a hysteria of war, an atomic war, one way already is clear, for this machinery already is set up and ready. It is the Federal Defense, Civil Defense Administration, a Jewish invention. We will need civil defense, and lots of it, if war strikes. But no possible combination of political appointees could conduct efficient emergency operations in case of bombings, fire, or general hysteria. The only force capable of coping with such an emergency is the local police in their own cities. They are familiar with the respective cities and local environs and the terrain and seasoned for handling people under excitement. The only way on earth to have efficient civil defense in a war emergency is to have the responsibility where it already rests, under the American form of government, with the local city governments and the people themselves. Let the police chief handpick, train, equip, and organize a citizen's auxiliary, and you will have a genuine civil defense. The police chief and mayor naturally will work out plans for cooperating with the county law enforcement authorities. The county with adjoining counties and all will work with the armed forces to save their own lives and children. The authority must remain at home. How to capture Americans. James Forrestal, the Patriot Secretary of Defense, worked out exactly such a plan in the fall of 1948. Asked police chiefs and sheriffs throughout the country to organize such auxiliaries. Forrestal was also, at the time, trying to keep Truman from building up a state, up the state of Israel in the strategic oil-laden Middle East. The Marxist propaganda machine, headed by Jewish smear agent Walter Winchell and the Anti-Defamation League mouthpiece Drew Pearson, went into action against Forrestal. Rarely in our history has such a frivolous and lying attack been centered on any public official. By December 1948, I predicted in an article, as any observer could have predicted, that Forrestal would soon be driven out of office. He was out by March, and as the reader doubtless recalls, was hounded to near insanity and either jumped out or was thrown out of the window of the Naval Hospital, where he had been held virtually incommunicado, denied even the right to see a priest. Okay, we're going back to this footnote here. The Jewish Black Book Committee was listed as a communist front in the 1947 California Un-American Activities Committee report. Its national head was the late communist friend Albert Einstein. The Black Book is apparently a list of Americans who dare to defend their country and its traditions. Okay. The surest sign that the inventors of the federal, as opposed to local civil defense machine, were not concerned with providing genuine civil defense to save lives, families, and cities, and to preserve the local order of things, is seen in the nature of the organization they induced to be president to set up. A federal bureau of political appointees to run the entire civil defense from coast to coast, the moment the bomb started falling, or the moment a region should be threatened with an invasion. The hodgepodge of political appointees, even if they were seasoned field generals, could not get this job done. Only the local police could and can do it. The backers of the plan were inexplicably challenged by a few far-sighted fighting police chiefs, sheriffs, and perhaps some mayors. They fought for weeks over who should have the authority to give orders. Finally, the local government advocates won. Congress, who once wrote into the bill the American way. But no matter what the law says, every head of the Federal Civil Defense Agency has been a left-wing liberal internationalist, fawning on the famous Jewish leaders. and all the legal counsel is a Jew who has publicly called for the powers of dictatorship over the people in case of war. And this machine has set up a chain of command coming down to the state, county, and the city of political appointees of liberal internationalist leanings, or else oblivious to the world revolution for which we are caught. Neither these lower appointees nor the American people in general realize that the American system and the federal constitution prohibit the federal government from coming into our state and our city to police us under any circumstances, even in war, unless and until asked to do so by the legislature or, if it is not in session, by the governor. This mighty wall has been our defense for nearly 200 years. It has protected us from a government which otherwise would have become a dictatorship long ago. Freedom can be had only by leaving all police powers entirely to the local community. But we have to man this wall of freedom, or we'll be beaten down. And if the people do not even know it is there, if they do not even have an inkling of the meaning of local government and human freedom, how are we to expect to them that the man the Great Wall of Freedom? The gifted gentlemen who plan to take over must know all of this. They must know that as soon as their planned agents sound the alarm over radio and television stations owned or dominated by prominent Zionists, the people will take order from these voices, and the local police will be squelched. For 25 New Deal years, our people have been conditioned to take orders from Washington. Thus, no matter what the law says, the revolutionaries who advise and guide our local political appointees will have the upper hand and give the order from the first alarm. They will have to use the local police, but they will quickly replace any police chief or mayor who tries to exercise his constitutional duty to his people. They will shut down the schools, churches, libraries, and courts because their whole aim is to destroy local government and state government, the rock which so long has made communist anti-Zionist takeover impossible. And the political figurehead arriving at each community will get his orders as to whom to liquidate from the local secret agent of the Anti-Defamation League of Benign Birth, the Zionist machine, by its own bulletin, has agents in 2,000 American cities. All Americans who recognize the revolution for what it is and who dare to protest the destruction of local government and the imposition of the federal police dictatorship, these unrighteous citizens, in quotations, will just disappear in the smoke and the hysteria. You will not be able to write, wire, or phone your congressman, or the Federal Defense Agency will control the mail and the telegraph and the telephone systems. How can we defend ourselves? The only defense you and I will have is to educate our neighbors now, while we have the chance to reach them with the facts. Under such a situation, it may be worth a great deal in the struggle to regain freedom for the citizenry to realize that the defenders of constitutional government will be legally correct, while the oppressive governments, which usurps the rights of local and state governments, will be in the position of the revolutionary. Under such circumstances, the Constitution seems to clearly authorize the people to make war on the usurpers. Article 2 of the amendment says, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." And Section 1 of Article... go ahead. We'll take a break here. This is a good place to stop, actually. Give me a break. Be right back, guys. Listen to the final hour with Travis.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
All right, welcome back. Fitting song for this day and age, little war pigs. Anyways, what a wild book. I mean, I can't believe the parallels we're seeing in today's day and age. Like I said, I highly encourage anybody to go read that. I'm probably going to go back and read it myself again once I get done, just to get a firm grasp of what they were saying back then and try to piece together what went wrong. I mean, this was written in 57, and you know, I didn't learn about this till, you know, 5-6 years ago, whatever. I don't know. What went wrong? What happened? I mean, the people tried to warn us, and yet somehow, some way, we've been asleep at the wheel. Anyways, I'm doing things a little different. Mike, if you want to play that that Ben Shapiro clip, that'd be awesome. It'll kind of set up the stage for what we're going to talk about.
So the real risk for Israel in not finishing off Hamas right now is that this is taken as a sign of weakness, as it certainly would be, by Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a far more dangerous terrorist group than Hamas. Hamas is a dangerous terrorist group. They just proved it by killing 1,300 Jews. Hezbollah currently has over 100,000 highly sophisticated rockets aimed directly at the north of Israel. Estimates suggest that were Hezbollah to fire all of those rockets, we wouldn't be talking about 1,300 dead Jews. You'd be talking about somewhere between 20 and 30,000 dead Jews, day one. If Hezbollah gets in, Israel will have no choice but to unleash the Air Force. If they unleash the Air Force, they're not going to be worried at that point about civilian casualties at all. They're simply going to have to eviscerate the entire south of Lebanon and topple the regime in Lebanon that supports Hezbollah. If that happens, Iran undoubtedly gets in, and so does Syria. If that happens, and Israel is now faced with a full war in the north, combined with a war in the south, because they will not have defeated Hamas, that's the predicate. If Israel is forced to the wall, the possibility of nuclear exchange is extremely high. That is why it is very important that the United States provide the material aid to Israel.
How do you like them apples? Basically, our greatest allies threatening to use the Samson option if we don't support them. Isn't that special? What a friend. What a friend. What an ally. And, you know, it's pretty wild. We were here talking last week about this time, and all this stuff kicked off. About this time we were all here listening. A few listeners we have here. But anyways, it was pretty much at this time this whole thing kicked off. And, you know, I just got to say, it's so predictable. It's so, I mean, absurd. Like, I've got a coworker where I'm at that listens to Newsmax and whatnot, and I tell him it doesn't bother me. So I hear it in the background, and almost immediately, the conservative media was just lapdogging for Israel, just completely, drumming up support. Oh my gosh, I almost told my coworker, why don't you just send your whole paycheck to Bibi over there? He needs it, And what's ironic is these same conservatives were bitching about how much money we're sending Ukraine, and rightfully so, saying it was a big money laundering thing and blah, 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 whatever they're saying. But, now they're all for sending money to Israel, so just find it kind of ironic. So anyways, I'm just going to go over some notes and stuff I jotted down. I kind of zoom in, I zoom out, big picture, detail oriented sometimes, so it bounces around a little bit. But I do find it ironic that almost 50 years to the day, the Yom Kippur War was October 6, 1973. So it was a year and a day that this stuff kicked off again. No coincidences, right? So the next day, predictably, the American news was gushing support for Israel, and President Corn Pop immediately pledged $8 billion in aid. Meanwhile, Palestinian fighters are flying paragliders over the fencing, and the Palestinian surprise attack appears to have been a success for Hamas. Or is it? You got to ask yourself, have these actions possibly started the official kickoff to World War III, even though we've probably been in World War III since, who knows, 9/11 maybe? I don't know. So just about a year ago, there was a military operation in Gaza to prepare for such events. So the Israelis were training for something like this to happen. And I just would like to know what happened with their training, because it seems they forgot everything, or, maybe they were just practicing their scripted act. I don't know. So this entire thing does feel scripted to me, and it is well known that Israel has always wanted them gone and viewed them as invaders. Anyways, yeah, let's go to a break. Be right back. Let's have a war so you can go and die.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Let's have a war
so you can go and die.
Let's have a war.
We could all use the money.
Let's have a war.
We need the space.
Right, sure has already started. Yeah, they do want to clean out that place. So, anyways, if you guys want to read on this or, you know, call up with some stuff I might have missed or glossed over, please give us a call a little later in the show. And but you can go read on a lot of these topics. I just took a bunch of notes pretty much after last show and kind of put together this show over this last week. So, and most of you know all this stuff, but, you know, just refreshing our memory on some of this stuff. Remember, in 33, Judah declared war on Germany, and the transfer agreement agreed to ship to Palestine many of the Jews, and they were basically given $100 million of equivalent money in that time to go settle Palestine. And most of the Jews left Germany after 33. And again, begs the question, even the book referenced it, why so many survivors? But that's another topic for another show. Anyways, you know, after almost immediately after they were pretty much given a homeland and given a territory that they were supposed to live in, you know, it was one third Palestine, supposedly got two thirds. Well, that wasn't enough. And so basically, you know, they turned around and did to the Palestinians what they accused the Nazis of doing to them. And so, you know, the Nakbas, the Jews forced the Palestinians off the land, and ever since then, it's been the same. You know, they've been encroaching on their lands, bulldozing their homes, and Gaza is one of their last strongholds, basically. Supposedly, some people say that Arafat actually did try to broker peace, but the Jews would never let Palestine exist, and it was not the other way around. I mean, you know, they always tried to say that Palestine was the problem, but basically Israel was always the problem. And so they turned the Holy Land into the homeland, and this has been a long time coming, and we've seen this train wreck coming. So back in the day, they started doing these bombings of Jewish ships that were coming over from all these different areas, and that was one of the first times the word terrorism was used, and it was actually called Operation Abaris. And they, you know, somebody did the King David Hotel bombing, and that somebody who was rumored to been involved was Benjamin Emanuel, father of Rahm Emanuel. So I guess they keep it in the family. Again, I don't know exactly what his involvement was or how he was involved, but he was definitely in that organization that was tied to all that stuff. So Arafat, some say he was poisoned in 2004, probably was. They pretty much gave control of Palestine to Hamas. And the reason Israel did that was so that a couple attacks would happen. They would declare them a terrorist organization, and it would be full-on, you know, war on the Gaza Strip. And I think 06, 07 is when that kind of happened, and it's pretty much been locked down ever since. And obviously, it's an open-air prison. You all know that. They have one of the most extremely sophisticated border and fencing systems there. It's highly automated, electronic. They can detect if a freaking cat's walking on this thing. So, you know, it's not typical for the Israeli defense forces to, you know, just like not be guarding the wall. You know, maybe the Iron Dome's down for some weird reason. I don't know why, but, you know, for some reason that was rumored to be down. And, you know, I'm not sure how these guys really got these paragliders into their country and all these weapons and all this crazy stuff without the most advanced spy network right there next door. You know, them, themselves, Israel, Mossad, right there. And meanwhile, this all happened under their noses? No, I don't believe it, guys. And I'm sure most of you don't either. So, you know, it's kind of odd that there was all this political instability. You know, a lot of people were protesting Netanyahu and the government. I mean, they had massive protests there. Their government is just as corrupt and poisonous and, you know, worthless as our government. So there was, you know, a lot of protests there. And again, who would benefit from something like this happening? Obviously Netanyahu in an indirect way, if he does it right. I don't know. I don't know what their ultimate plan is, but, you know, it's pretty terrible. You know, I don't condone any killing. I'm not taking any sides. I'm not taking the side of Hamas either. But I will point out that Hamas was an Israeli and U.S. creation. And if, Mike, if you're ready, you want to play that clip from Ron Paul? And if not, I'll just keep talking. But yeah, no worries. Yeah, go ahead.
United States citizen and American. And I think resolutions like this really do us great harm. In many ways, what's happening in the Middle East, and in particular with Gaza right now, we have some moral responsibility for both sides in a way, because we provide help and funding for both Arab nations and Israel. And so we definitely have a moral responsibility, and especially now today, the weapons being used to kill so many Palestinians are American weapons, and American funds essentially are being used for this. But there's a political liability, which I think is something that we fail to look at, because too often there's so much blowback from our intervention in areas that we shouldn't be involved in. You know, Hamas, if you look at the history, you'll find out that Hamas was encouraged and really started by Israel, because they wanted Hamas to counteract Yasser Arafat. You say, well, yeah, that was better then and it served its purpose, but we didn't want Hamas to do this. So then we as Americans say, well, we have such a good system, we're going to impose this on the world. We're going to invade Iraq and teach people how to be Democrats. We want free elections. So we encourage the Palestinians to have a free election. They do, and they elect Hamas. So we first, indirectly and directly through Israel, help establish Hamas. Then we have election. Then Hamas becomes dominant, so we have to kill them. You know, it just doesn't make sense. During the 80s, you know, we were allied with Osama bin Laden. And we were contending with the Soviets. It was at that time our CIA thought it was good if we radicalized the Muslim world. So we financed the madrasa schools to radicalize the Muslims in order to compete with the Soviets. There's too much blowback. There's a lot of reasons why we should oppose this resolution. It is not in the interest of the United States. It's not in the interest of Israel either.
Thanks, Mike. Well, there you have it. There you have it. So, you know, again, you got to wonder, and the reason I bring this all up, because I really wanted to tie it back into modern day, where we're at here in this country, where most of the listeners are. And at the end of the day, you got to wonder how long until the invasion force is called into action. You know, have we been set up? Are they playing... They're obviously playing, and if you look in the media, they're looking for sympathy for the Palestinians. They're looking for sympathy from the Jews, you know, and so they're pitting the sides against each other. You can see it kind of in the media. They're fomenting it in a way. So, you know, we've just witnessed this mass immigration movement. Conceals various nation states, possibly UN, New World Order armies, whatever, assist in throwing the Western world into chaos. Like, I mean, you got to wonder. I mean, been written many, many rumors of Middle East men infiltrating a border, and some estimates put the number of fighting age men versus women and children around 60%. So one must ask the question, are Muslims getting played? Are they being used to attack Americans, attack Jews, whatever? Are they being, you know, are they being played to help start World War III and or civil unrest in all these countries? So, I don't know. You tell me. Let me know what your thoughts on when we get to the calls here in a little bit. But, Mike, you want to play this other last clip real quick, if you got a second? I think this says it all. That would last clip. Yeah. Sorry, man, I should have prepped you more.
...adjusted basis when 20 Israelis are killed or 20 hostages are captured, that's like 1,000 Americans. So if we get into 60 Israeli killed, we're looking at truly a 9/11 level event. And I think that number is going to be well above 60. They may have 20, 40, 60, 80 hostages right now. Those are big numbers. This is massive.
That's good, Mike. Makes me sick. So if 60 Jews are killed, that's the equivalent of 1,000 Americans, is basically what he said, or something along those lines. That's what they think about us, you know? That's awesome. And, you know, we all know that here, but, you know. Anyways, you know, just reality check, you know, it's all open borders for us. You know, ADL wants open borders for us. We have to have open borders. But just remember, it's September 20, just this year, Israel announced that it's going to deport all African migrants from Israel after Eurechian groups clash. And of course, you know, again, the ADL vehemently supports Israel's move to deport these African migrants. But, you know, at the same time, they want them all in Europe and America. So, I don't know. I'm kind of pissed, you know. Anyways, I'm not going to belabor all this talk about what's going on with current events on the war front. You guys can call me and tell me your thoughts. In other news, there's certain areas of Europe that are proposing to limit all speed limits to 30 kilometers per hour or 18.6 miles per hour in the Netherlands and some parts of the UK. So, you know, again, this is all in their push to, you know, force the transition to electric vehicles by 2030 and ban all internal combustion vehicles. And they're just trying to make it harder and harder for people to own cars. Like in Singapore, they're talking or are proposing legislation that it would cost you the equivalent of about 180 grand. I can't remember if it's Singaporean money or American money, but to basically own a vehicle. So they're going to try to impose some sort of tax to own a vehicle. And again, all this hurts is the middle class, the workers, the poor. It's a war on drivers. It's a war on people's freedoms and mobility. They want to lock you down in these 15-minute cities. They want to know exactly where you're at, you know, and just keep you in a little tiny open-air prison. And it'll keep escalating, and they're going to keep pushing it. And they'll keep trying it in different areas and keep trying it, and we'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll see how well that stuff goes here. But, you know, my fear is it's just going to drive up inflation and, you know, just slowly drain us. Where gas is going to be $8-9 a gallon. And, you know, it's practically impossible to afford it. In addition to food costs going up, you know, we all have talked about the threats to our food supply a little bit. Maybe I'll do a little more focus on that. So the other thing is, Christians and conservative groups are rumored to be quietly being debanked, and they're being labeled as high risk, and the banks are basically shutting down their accounts and making it harder and harder for people to do business and, you know, just jump through all these hoops. And, you know, it's just a war on people. Basically, it's a war on people. And so while that's happening, the FBI is busy occupying their time spying on the average Joe's Americans, the conservatives, the Christian groups. And you got to wonder if they're looking the other way, because it's plausible deniability. They didn't see what was coming. Just saying. There is also a video out there that I highly recommend you guys take. Cool, we got a caller here. Give me one sec, Mike. In the UK, there's a gentleman who owns a medium-sized hotel, and I guess for some reason, I'm not sure why he did this, but he decided to contract with the government to house the migrants, right? And it sounded like it was decent size, like 150 rooms were run into these migrants or something like that. Well, anyways, this is according to him. This is an audio I heard on this video. He received a large shipment of crates. When he was instructed not to open them, well, he got curious and he opened them. And lo and behold, there's a bunch of weapons and stuff in the UK. So, I don't know, guys. You know, again, I take everything with a grain of salt. I don't really believe anything anymore. Oh, and another thing I did want to remind you is some of those images that are coming out, in addition to some of it looking kind of scripted and staged, you got to be careful with some of these images. AI can help generate all sorts of images where they look very convincing and very real. And really the only way to spot that is if you're kind of a trained expert in that, or you run it through some sort of, there's checkers, some sort of another AI that you could check this stuff and like look for markers. And so I guess one of my friends did that, and he was saying, yeah, some of these photos are just garbage, you know? So anyways, let's take Mike in Kentucky. Close enough for the hour.
Yeah. You're talking about fake photos. I would love to find out the radio traffic on 9/11 that supposedly some Middle Eastern-looking guys were in a truck that had a mural on the side. I've seen the fake version that shows supposedly a plane flying over New York City with the Twin Towers, you know, and the way it's described in the radio chatter is that it was flying towards or into the Twin Towers, but supposedly the two guys that were in that truck got arrested, but you never heard anything more about it. Now, obviously, you can fake, you know, radio audio and fake it and make it sound like it's real. It seems like somebody would be able to track that down. I can't find it, but one thing that I've seen being acknowledged here recently is the scope and scale of being all of our, you know, being spied on and having individual permanent record files known as IC Reach or X Key Score. So an event like this in Israel, they can certainly pigeonhole and categorize everybody to see what side you come down on.
Hey, hang tight, Mike. We'll come back in 1 second, all right? Hang tight.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Back RBN final hour. Travis, got Mike here. Mike, remember the all the reports of the explosives found on the George Washington Bridge, and then they just disappeared from the news, gone.
Well, yeah, supposedly I think the Weehawken Five when they were arrested, you know, the dancing Israelis that everybody said was dancing Middle Easterners, and the, I think even CNN had to issue a midnight retraction that they were using file footage showing dancing Middle Eastern people, and it was actually a reference to those dancing Israelis. Even Trump has made reference to them, not saying anything about them being Israelis. But, you know, they give you a clue as to what I think was going on. I believe the Mossad and Israeli intelligence was involved in 9/11, and they were misled into believing that the Palestinians were going to be the target. So when they got arrested, that's exactly what they said. They said, hey, we're not the problem, the Palestinians. Our problems are your problems. The Palestinians are the problems, right? So they were under the mistaken idea that the Palestinians were going to be blamed for 9/11, and the PNAC folks pulled the rug out from under them because they needed a war. They needed a war to support the failing military-industrial complex. The F-35 was about to get canceled. The F-22 was about to get canceled. The carriers were about to get mothballed. I mean, all that's talked about in that Project for New American Century, absent a new Pearl Harbor. So, they duped the Israelis into going along with it. They knew that they wanted to do that from Project Bojinka. One of the three phases of Project Bojinka involved flying a plane into the CIA headquarters. That was from like 1992. And that was even before the World Trade Center bombing in 1993, which was allowed to, quote, get messed up, according to Ahmad Salam. He said, there was a plane to make the bomb with fake powder, and somebody from Washington, D.C. came in and messed up the plan to do that. And fortunately, he recorded his meetings with his FBI handler, or he probably would have been made the patsy. Instead, he got paid $1 million, and you can find where they're making fun of him online. He invested in a New York City taxi driver's license, which at the time cost about $1 million before Uber, and he lost, he tried to make it in America as an entrepreneur with the money he got paid for in that trial, and he's made fun of. You know, he wasted all the money he spent on his book and all that. So Ahmad Salam is something to look at. But, you know, you're talking about cars, and I ran my head right into a wall with the Jeep Grand Cherokee. We had one in 1997 that lasted nearly 400,000 miles before the engine had what the mechanic initially told us was a wrist pin. Turns out it was the fourth or the sixth cylinder in that inline six. They wear out and start clicking. Well, about 99, they started putting Teflon seals and Teflon sleeves on these pistons. So you're lucky for a 99 through a 2004 4.0 to go 200,000 miles before the sleeves, the pistons, wear out. And if you get a leaky seal in these engines and you decide you're going to use some of that seal reconditioner, like the rear main seal, they're Teflon. If you use that seal conditioner, it totally destroys what's left of your Teflon seal, and it just starts leaking like crazy. So they've got a lot of tricks that they've put in these cars where they won't last like they used to, you know, 400,000 miles.
Anyway, yeah, that's called planned obsolescence.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Hey, Ike, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm glad he brought up the cars. I did want to bring up the cars. I'll come back after this. Listen to this King Crimson.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.